कुंज बिहारी
जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी
हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे
जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा
जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस पूर्वजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिशुमध्यजीवांग्रेस ऐसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की नामाचार्य श्रीलरिदास ठाकुर की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवत महापुराण की निताय गौर विमनंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल्ड स्वयंभू मनु एडवाइसेस ध्रुव महाराज टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 स्वनंतोंतकर कालो अनादिरादिकृत अनादिकृतात अनादि आदिकृत अव्यय जनम जनेन जनयन मारयन मृत्युनांतकम् स्वनंतोनंतकर कालो अनादिरादिकृत अव्ययः जनम जनेन जनयन मारयन मृत्युनांतकम् स्वनंतोनंतकर कालो अनादिरादिकृत अव्ययः जनम जनेन जनयन मारयन मृत्युनांतकम् अनादिरादिकृतव्यय न जनयन् मारयन् मृत्युनांतकम् माताजी जनम जनेन जनयन् All right. वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन. सह ही अनंत इनफाइनाइट अंतकर एनिलेटर कालह टाइम अनादिर विदाउट बिगिनिंग आदिकृत बिगिनिंग ऑफ एवरीथिंग अव्ययः विदाउट डिक्रीज जनम लिविंग एंटिटीज जनेन बाय लिविंग एंटिटीज जनयन कॉजिंग टू बी बॉर्न मारयन किलिंग मृत्युना बाय डेथ अंतकम किलर्स. ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिदानंद स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. माय डियर ध्रुवा, द सुप्रीम पर्सनल ऑफ गॉडहेड इज एवर एग्जिस्टिंग बट इन द फॉर्म ऑफ टाइम. ही इज अ किलर ऑफ एवरीथिंग. ही हैज नो बिगिनिंग ऑल्दो ही इज द बिगिनिंग ऑफ एवरीथिंग. Nor is he ever exhaustible, although everything is exhausted in due course of time. The living entities are created through the agency of Father and killed through the agency of death, but he is perpetually free of birth and death. Purport. The supreme authority and inconceivable power of Supreme Personality of Godhead can be minutely studied from this verse. He is always unlimited. That means that he has no creation or end. He is, however, death in the form of time, as described in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am death. I take away everything at the end of life. Eternal time is also without beginning, but it is the creator of all the creatures. The example is given of touchstone, which creates many valuable stones and jewels, but does not decrease in power. Similarly, creation occurs many times. Everything is maintained and after a time, everything is annihilated. But the original creator, the Supreme Lord, remains untouched and undiminished in power. The secondary creation is made by Brahma, but Brahma is created by the Supreme Godhead. Lord Shiva annihilates the whole creation, but at the end, he is also annihilated by Vishnu. Lord Vishnu remains. In the Vedic hymns, it is stated that in the beginning there is only Vishnu and that he alone remains at the end. An example can help us to understand the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. In the recent history of warfare, the Supreme Personality of Godhead created a Hitler and before that a Napoleon, and they each killed many living entities in war. But in the end, Napoleon and Hitler were also killed. People are still very much interested in writing and reading books about Hitler and Bonaparte and how they killed so many people in war. Year after year, many books are published for public reading regarding Hitler's killing thousands of Jews in confinement. But no one is researching who killed Hitler and who created such gigantic killer of human beings. The devotees of the Lord are not much interested in study of flickering history of the world. They are interested only in Him, who is the original creator, maintainer and annihilator. That is the process of the Krishna consciousness movement. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशदारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. In this episode, as we are reading since few days, Swayambhu Manu is coming to console and advise Dhruva Maharaj, who is on a rampage to kill all the yakshas who are also simultaneously attacking Dhruva Maharaj. So this section basically talks about controlling of anger and pacification by Swayambhu Manu and advising Dhruva Maharaj that please, your anger was useful for some time, but now it is going overboard and better you control it. So Swayambhu Manu in this series of verses is telling that Dhruva, don't try to take situation in your own hands. Because there is somebody who is controller of all controllers, creator of all creators, and that is the Supreme Lord, who is without a beginning, without an end, and ultimately it's by his desire that things go on. And he compares the Supreme Personal Godhead to the ever-existing form of time. In the form of time, he is a killer of everything, and ultimately the final judgment is given by the time itself. So while researching about what is anger, like psychologists, they initially thought that anger is a primary emotion. Primary and secondary emotions are defined by them as primary emotions are ones which we experience immediately after the situation, and those emotions leads to further emotions, and they are called as secondary emotions. So anger was considered by them as a primary emotion, like situations directly lead to anger. But that was like 6-7 years before. But recently they realized that there is something more which happens before the anger comes. And now they come to realize that anger is a secondary emotion. There is emotions of maybe insecurity, inferiority, or loneliness, and that may manifest into anger. They came up with the theory that because in modern society or in a social circumstances, people are not always encouraged to express different emotions. Like if you push a young teenager on a stage where all people are dancing, but he is not very, very much used to dancing in public or exposing himself to public, then he may become angered over a person who pushed him. So basically it was not anger, it was the insecurity or not feeling of comfort. That was the first emotion, and that led to something secondary called anger. So giving so much case studies, then they realized that this is a secondary emotion. But we realize in Gita we read, and Krishna tells that it is not secondary, but it is, it comes quite after a long time. Dhyayate vishan bhumsam, sangaste shupajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodho vijayate. So there are many things, many emotions which follow, which falls before anger. And then finally it leads to anger. And it's not a last thing, but again continues ahead. Krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammoha smuti bhamsha. Sruti virbhama smuti bhamshat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashati. So scriptures already mentions many things which scientists are still trying to find out. So there is another psychologist who defines anger in a very nice way. He says that anger is emotion which comes when there are three factors involved. And it was like very much appealing to me. And he says that when we see that somebody is doing something voluntarily, janbuchkar koi kuch kar raha hai. So first thing which a person is convinced about, it's somebody is acting out of his own will. Second thing, that person is intruding or invading into the territory of me and mine. And third thing, if I act and express my anger, I can change the situation, I can change the person. So for a person to feel angry, these three things are necessary. We see in many pastimes, many situations, that actually these three things are involved. Like when Sanatana Goswami, he was meditating, and then while meditating, he sees sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And seeing those sweet pastimes, he laughs. But there is another person, a sage, who was walking by, but he was lame and he was not able to walk properly. So he feels that this Goswami is laughing at me, seeing my limping. And he becomes hurt and immediately he leaves the bhajan kutir. And then as soon as the person feels offended, Sanatana Goswami's meditation breaks. And whatever pastime he was witnessing is no more visible to him. So Sanatana Goswami, amazed at how can this happen, asks his brother Rupa Goswami, who says him that maybe you have offended someone and that's why Krishna has taken away the mercy. So our spiritual life depends on many people around. And the Rupa Goswami said, better you invite all the people around for a prasad, for a feast, and then we can realize who is the one who has taken that offense. So as soon as everybody is invited, everybody comes except the person who felt offended. Immediately Sanatana Goswami approaches him and says that please forgive me, but please let me know what was my offense, why you feel offended. And then he says that why we should come to your kutir, because you see us on the bodily platform. You are supposed to be a sage on the spiritual platform, but you are laughing at seeing my limping. So when Sanatana Goswami clarifies that it's not you at whom I was laughing, but it was Lord's sweet pastimes. So then that sage realizes that he laughed, but his laughter was not voluntarily meant for offending me. So when he realized that this person is not acting on his own will or just to damage me or disturb me, so after realizing this, his anger goes away. So this is a primary requisite, that we think that the person in front is acting just to disturb me. Second thing is, when we think that person is coming in the territory of me and mine. So like many times when we preach and talk to many parents, mostly the mothers, they say that, Prabhuji, recently we are getting so much anger. And then ask them, to on whom you become angry? And then they say, kids, because they play so much on mobile and they don't study. So seeing them having a mobile in their hand and not studying makes us angry. But seeing other kids or the neighboring kids playing on the mobile don't make them angry. Why? Because they are not in the territory of me and mine. So as soon as we have made our territory of controllership and enjoyership, and anybody tries to execute or exercise their own control over our control, then that anger manifests. And third thing is, when we think that if by doing something I can change the person or I can change the situation, then only we try to exercise that anger. One sister approached her brother and told her, brother, I am so much disturbed because of my in-law. And then he says that you do something. He was a pharmacist. And better you do something so that my mother-in-law dies. And he says that, why you want to kill her? She says, no, I can't anymore tolerate her. Better you give me some poison which I can add in her food And immediately she dies. And he says, no, 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 don't do like that. I will give you a better option. I will give you a poison which acts very slowly. Because if you add in one day and then people may become suspicious of you because you fed her. So I will give you a slow poison which you have to keep adding in her food every day without fail for 6 months. And after 6 months, she can die. So she became very happy, took the poison along. And then he said, but remember, every day you have to cook for her. Personally, sir, or then only you can add the poison. So better you ask her what she likes, what she doesn't like, and make according to her choices. And she immediately starts doing the same thing, asking mother-in-law, aaj aap kya khana chahenge? And then mother-in-law become amazed, what is this? And she says, no, 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 just to feed you. And then like this 6 months, she is taking proper care, feeding her, but every day without fail adding that poison. So after 6 months, mother-in-law becomes sick, gets admitted. After 2 days, shifts to ICU. And doctor says, very less chance, please pray for her. And then the sister runs back to the brother and says, brother, please do something. And he said, what happened? My mother-in-law is admitted and she's about to die. Congratulations, your plan is successful. And she said, no, she should not die. What is this? You told me she should die and so we gave the poison. No, 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 she is a very nice lady. Actually, I was lacking in my dealings. Now I am serving her nicely. Now we have a very nice relationship. We are like mothers and daughter. So please do something. He says, no, I can't do anything. Then she starts crying and says, no, I can't lose her. He said, no, don't worry. What I gave you was not actually a poison. Was a placebo. It was a plain drug. And she's not going to die. Just wait for 2-3 days and she'll be all right and come back. Because I know, I knew that it was your fault. But at that time, I cannot convince you of that. Because you thought if I act, then the person in front should change. Then my situation will improve. Then my situation will change. So anger is a time, yes, we need to change something, but not the person ahead, but ourselves. So that the situation may improve. So this psychologist actually points out these three things. That when we think that a person is acting by his voluntary will, second is coming in our, my territory of me and mine. And third, if we think that if by my expressing anger, I can change the person or change the situation. Swayambhu Manu, surprisingly, when he is advising or counseling Dhruva Maharaj, I could see that he is addressing these three points and convincing Dhruva Maharaj that please come out of these three things. We see that when, in the previous chapter, when Dhruva Maharaj saw that his brother Uttama was killed by Yaksha, there it is said, Dhruva Bhratrur Vadham Shrutva Kopa Amrusha Shuchar Pitaha Jaitram Sandanam Asthaya Gatha Punya Janalayam. When he saw that his brother was killed by Yaksha, he was overwhelmed with emotions of Kopa Amrusha Shucha. He was filled with anger, grief and lamentation. So whenever we think that we are the controllers, so we can land up in these three emotions. So anger was prominent in Dhruva Maharaj's case. So immediately to express his anger, he heads towards the abodes of Yakshas. So in the midst of fighting, when Dhruva Maharaj is fighting, in between he is overwhelmed by the illusions created by Yakshas. And Dhruva Maharaj is such a famous devotee and famous for his noble character, that seeing that he is in a situation where he is not able to or kind of overwhelm apparently, so immediately sages on their own they appear, and on their own they start instructing Dhruva Maharaj that, oh great Dhruva, please just remember the Supreme Lord, who is the controller and whose name can bestow all power and whose name can remove all the illusion. And just by chanting the names of the Lord, immediately illusions are overcome. And sages actually help Dhruva Maharaj in expressing his anger. So when the anger goes overboard, so Swayambhu Manu comes along with the sages. who in between came to help Dhruva Maharaj pursue his fighting. So Uttana Pada Bhagavams Tava Shangra Dhanva Deva Kshinoti Avatarti Havo Vipakshan. So this is the verse where sages help Dhruva Maharaj. So when Swayambhu Manu and sages they come, Swayambhu Manu starts instructing Dhruva Maharaj. So first thing he instructs that please remove this feeling that the Yaksha was the cause of your suffering. That he voluntarily on his own performed this act of killing your brother. So Swayambhu Manu says, Na icha ete putraka bhatru hantaro dhanadanugaha visarga danayo tata pumso daivam hi karanam. He says that, O Dhruva Maharaj, please don't think that karanam or the cause for your grief or your lamentation was a yaksha. Hantaro dhanada anugaha. Dhanada is Kubera. The anugas of Kubera, the yakshas, they were the cause of your brother's death. Please don't think like that. Why? Because pumso daivam hi karanam. Because he is just acting under the influence of karma or the daivam, the Supreme Lord. So we see here also in this verse, he is telling that it's a Supreme Lord in form of time. So time has two functions. In terms of karmis or non-devotees, the time acts as a vehicle of our own karma. So time just, whatever karma we had done in past, time just delivers at a proper time to us. So here, Swayambhu Manu is saying, Pumso daivam hi karanam. It's our own destiny or karma, past karma, which is causing this. So whenever we see somebody acting against our interest, we should give benefit of doubt that he may wanted to hurt us or he may not wanted to hurt us. So many times when we judge people, we judge others seeing their actions and we judge ourselves seeing our intentions. But we never give people the benefit of doubt in terms of their intentions when they act adversely towards it. So that's why Swayambhu Manu, he first says that please remove that feeling that this person was specifically acting for your distress. Then he says that please remove this feeling of me and mine. Because of this feeling of me and mine, you are coming under the grip of this anger. Tvam pratyak atmani tada bhagavati ananta ananda matra upapanna samasta shakto bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakair avidya granthim vibhetsasi mama aham iti prarudham. This deep feeling of me and mine is the cause of Hridaya Granthi, and then this feeling or this attachment, it's giving rise to this anger. So Swayambhu Manu instructs Dhruva to remove this feeling of me and mine, mama and aham. Then the third thing in this verse, Swayambhu Manu is telling that don't think that by your prowess or your actions, you can become the controller and change this situation or change these people. So he says in the next few verses, Sakhalu idam bhagavan kala shaktya guna pravahena vibhakta virya karoti akrataiva nihanti ahanta cheshta vibhumna khalu durvibhavya. The Supreme Personal Godhead by his inconceivable supreme energy time causes the interactions of three modes of material nature, and thus varieties of energy become manifest. It appears that he is acting, but he is not the actor. He is killing, but he is not the killer. Thus it is understood that only by his inconceivable power is everything happening. So he's telling that ultimate controller is time. So when we understand that we are not the controllers, then we immediately voluntarily resign from being a judge or a punisher or a one who will be able to change the situation. So in the form of time, time has second function. So in the life of abhaktas or karmis, he just delivers their karma or their past deeds. But in the matter of devotees, time just delivers the will of Krishna. So whatever is the will of Krishna, that comes in the form of time, which if we accept, then we can overcome many situations or aggressive situations where we hold other people's as aggressors or offenders. If we just have faith in time, then we will hand over the control to time to heal the situation and not take the control of situation in our hands. So this controllership or enjoyership is actually expressed in these three aspects of our attitude. So when we think I am the supermost controller, then we think that I know this person, why he is acting. He is acting to disturb me. So we try to exhibit the omniscience of Supreme Personality. That I know everything. I know why he is acting. I know why he is speaking like this. I know why he did like this. So we try to take position of Krishna. When we say that he is coming in my territory, he is invading into I and mine, then we again try to compete with Krishna as he is the all proprietor. But then we try to think that something belongs to me and people cannot enter this area. And when we think that I am the controller, I can change the situation, then we are again competing with Krishna only. So Swayambhu Manu in this verse is actually just telling Dhruva that give away these three aspects of feelings of controllership, that I know everything, everything belongs to me, and I can change the situation, I can control everything. So if we can give up these three ideas, then our cause of anger is immediately removed. So that's what Swayambhu Manu is instructing Dhruva Maharaj. We see that whenever this controllership we take in our hands, it will lead to negative emotions. Like we saw in a previous chapter, when Dhruva Maharaj heard about his brother being killed, he went through many emotions like grief, lamentation and anger. Anger was prominent and so he decided to fight. When we see in Bhagavad Gita, in starting of Bhagavad Gita in first and second chapter, where Arjuna is trying to take the role of controller. He is thinking of what will happen to me, what I can do, what will be my role and how it will decide the destiny of others. And thinking by this mentality, he is overcome with fear. His attitude of I and mine, like I cannot enjoy, I will suffer the sinful reactions, I will be responsible for destroying so many kula, I will be responsible for death of guru and pitamaha. So this I and mine was so strong, so that was a mentality of controllership. And that led to fear. And Arjuna could not fight or could not act. When you see after the battle of Mahabharata, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he starts feeling that I was the cause of this battle. I was the one who started or was the cause of this battle. And when he thought like this for a moment, he immediately started feeling the emotion of lamentation. Like, because so many people are being killed and massacred in this battle, so I am responsible and I should take the blame. And it's me because of whom everybody died and so many women became widow. And he was overcome with so much lamentation that he could not act. He could not rule his kingdom. So Krishna has to come, console him. But by the plan of Krishna, with Krishna's consolation, Yudhishthira Maharaj could not be satisfied. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj was taken by Krishna with along all the Pandavas to Bhishma Dev, so what Bhishma Dev tells and how he consoles, it's same as what Swayambhu Manu tells to Dhruva Maharaj. Then he tells that It's all controlled by time. Vayo Yuva Ganavali, that famous verse. That this situation, don't think why all these things are happening. You can't try to find out the cause of everything what happens to you. And Bhishma says, it's time who is the supreme controller who orchestrates everything in our life. And you may try to find out. Then Bhishma says that this time, who is this time? Sa eva ayam maya ted, sorry, Bhishma says that the person who is standing nearby you, Krishna, he is the same person, time personified. So you may now start thinking, why this person is acting like this? Why this time is controlling in such a manner? And then Bhishma says that you cannot understand how he thinks and how he acts. So it's beyond our comprehension. What we can do is just accept the will of time and move ahead. So Bhishma Dev again reminds Yudhishthira Maharaj about the controllership, the supreme controller of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of time. Arjuna's lamentation or Arjuna's fear is also removed when Krishna himself shows universal form and again tells that don't worry, it's not you who are doing everything. You have to just become Nimitta Matra Bhavesa Vasaj. Everything I am doing, I am the controller in the form of time, in the form of ability in you. So I am the controller and I am the doer. So don't try to take doership in your hands or controllership in your hand. So then you cannot act. So whenever we are overcome with this feeling of doership or controllership or enjoyership, then we undergo this negative emotions of anger, lamentation, or grief or fear, and then we cannot act properly. So in all these cases, what we see that the senior devotees, they come and counsel, and what they do is they just remind the affected party of the supreme control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Maharaj in one class, he says that the greatest service to devotees is to remind them of Krishna. So what Swayambhu Muni is doing here for Dhruva is just reminding them of Krishna and Krishna's control. What Krishna did to Arjuna is reminded him of himself, that I am the controller. What Bhishma Dev did to Yudhishthira Maharaj was reminded him of Krishna's potency as Kala. So this remembrance of Krishna as the all controller can correct the situation and set our radar in a best position. So this remembrance of Krishna immediately liberates us from the material conception of life. And then we are situated in the spiritual consciousness, and immediately we are free from all the negative emotions. Narasingha Dev, when he appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj, so he asked Dhruva Maharaj, please ask something. Sorry, Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj says that actually speaking, of my own, I don't have any difficulty. So in that verse, Prabhupada translated that I have no difficulty because I have learned to glorify your divine pastimes. So to glorify Krishna or to remember Krishna, we have to learn. So Prahlad Maharaj said, because I have learned to find pleasure in glorifying you, I have no difficulties. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj, did Prahlad Maharaj had any difficulty? So many difficulties. And we can name any it happened with Prahlad Maharaj. So his own father was trying to kill him with all his strength with which he controlled Indra. And with that strength, he's trying to kill 5-year-old boy, Prahlad Maharaj. So actually, all topsy-turvy situations are happening in the life of Prahlad Maharaj. And he was alone in Vishnu's party. Everybody was against Vishnu and everybody was demoniac. So now somebody else is there in his party. Now at least one more vote, Narasimha Dev. So he is again in his party. So now he had some strength, some support to get strength from. And now Narasimha Dev is supreme controller. He is asking, please tell me what I can do for you. And he's saying, actually I don't have any difficulty. So till now he was suffering alone, but still he says that I have no difficulty because that remembrance of Krishna was constantly there. So when the remembrance of Krishna is there, and we can We have learned to remember Krishna and glorify Krishna in his controllership and our servitorship. So then in all adverse situations, we will be not disturbed. We will not go through negative emotions, but always feel the shelter of Krishna. So then Prahlad Maharaj said, but I have only one difficulty, only one anxiety, that how can this condition souls be liberated? So unless and until person is satisfied in himself, he cannot think of others. So Manu, what he is doing is the same thing, just reminding Dhruva Maharaj of Krishna. So recently we attended Radha Gopinath Prabhu's presentation, a very profound presentation, and he was speaking on what is the mood of Radha Gopinath temple, which is like a very deep, grave, at the same time very vague, cannot be expressed in words, topic. You are talking about mood of Radha Gopinath temple. What mood, with what mood this community was created. And he gave a very nice analogy, and he said that, like Prabhupada had said, like we say to about Prabhupada, he had made a house in which whole world can stay, reside. So he gave the analogy of a house. What is the mood of, what should be the mood of a Vaishnava community? Then he said, as just like a house has a foundation, house has a flooring, house has a walls, house has a roof, shelter, and house has doors and windows. So he compared a community or a mood of a community to a house. And he said, and he compared like one attitude, one aspect of that mood to different parts of a house. And he said, the foundation, what is the foundation of a house? The foundation of house is sadhana. And he elaborated on this and he said, personal and coming together for sadhana. So personal and group sadhana. So that forms the foundation for the community. Then he says that the walls are made up of nice Vaishnava relationships in the community. So these are like walls which protect us from all the onslaughts. Then he says flooring is service attitude towards the Vaishnavas. So we may become big, but flooring is the place, flooring is the part of a house which we are in always in contact. We may not touch walls always, we may not touch roof always, but we always touch the flooring. So he says, for a Vaishnava community, the constant touch should be service attitude. And then walls are like Vaishnava relationships. And then he says, the roof. The roof is timely and mature guidance by the senior Vaishnavas. So this is like a roof for all the members who are staying in the community. And then he says, the doors and windows are compared to the projects and preaching opportunities. So projects are like windows from where person outside can peep in and see through what's happening, how this community looks like. And from the door, which are like outreach programs, he can enter inside. So these are like doors and windows for the community. And this is just by having foundation, just by having flooring, just by having roof and walls, we cannot call it a home. It will just remain a house. But then there should be people staying inside. And as soon as people come to stay inside, then one big house will have so many rooms. And one room will have different families staying. So you say in a community, there will be many people, but there will be variety. But those different rooms in one house, that constitutes unity in diversity. So we may have different varieties of Vaishnavas, but if we can respect and appreciate the variety, so then that will give the form of actual family bonding in that house. So like that he compared foundation, walls, roof, doors and windows, flooring and the family atmosphere inside. So what was amazing in that was, out of these 5-6 factors, almost 90% factors depend on Vaishnavas. Like in the foundation, we have personal and group sadhana. So personal sadhana we can do alone. But he said that personal sadhana is not so much contributes to the community building, but actually it's coming together for sadhana, which contributes to every person's strength and strength of a community. So coming together again depends on fellow Vaishnavas. When it comes to flooring, what is flooring? It's service attitude towards the Vaishnavas. So again, Vaishnavas are involved. When it comes to walls, it's again deep bonding relationships between the Vaishnavas. When it comes to roof, it's again timely and mature guidance from senior Vaishnavas. So what we see here is Swayambhu Manu, what is giving you the roof for Dhruva Maharaj. He's timely and mature. At the time where he was going overboard, immediately he comes. It's not like he's letting him do whatever he does and then after some time he's telling what you did was a mistake. Timely, he's coming immediately. So he was giving example that when Radha Gopina temple, like few years back, many years back, when there was a plane crash and many devotees were like killed in that air crash. So the community was like very disturbed and many felt, how can Krishna do this to devotees? How can this happen to in devotees' life? Like many two, three families were destroyed on the spot and Brahmachari was also killed. So when community was going through that slot, immediately Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who was abroad and having so many engagements, he cancelled all his appointments and engagements and immediately flew back. Only for like 3-4 days. And he addressed and met each person of family, all community. And then he made timely and mature intervention in the life of devotees. He was telling that this association of devotees is actually makes our spiritual life stable. So we saw like in the life of Yudhishthir Maharaj, in the life of Arjuna, for him Krishna was like a friend, and in the life of Dhruva Maharaj. So whenever we go overboard in our feelings and attitude of controllership and enjoyership, so you see, he told that this enjoyership and controllership actually sinks the ship of devotional service. So this is when he was telling about what is not the mood, what should not be the mood of a community. Then the only thing he said that just remove this tendency of controllership and enjoyership. Bhokta and Niyanta. So this tendency to become a controller and enjoyer. If you can remove this, then we are in the healthy mood of a healthy community. So these are some thoughts about this verse. If anybody has to some corrections and comments, can share.
जय श्री ग्रंथनाश्रम भागवत महापुराण की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय।